February the 12th, 1893, a sermon by J.H. Durland called Fellowship with Christ. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. 1 John 1, verses 6 and 7. Fellowship is partaking, sharing, participation, communion, partnership. We all know what partnership means. We have put in what we have with others and have a right to our share of all the income. If there should be losses in the business, we are pledged to share in them also. How often men go into partnership thinking of nothing but profits. Then, when adverses come, they become discouraged. They are glad to enjoy all the good things that are connected with the business, but wish to retire when there are hardships to bear. So it is with many Christians. They are willing to enter into partnership with Christ if they shall have nothing but pleasure and joy. But when they are brought into places where they have to partake of his sufferings, many are ready to go back and say, "I do not belong to him." I desire at this time to examine the scriptures to ascertain our privileges in Christ Jesus. There are many here who have been talking about the blessings they are enjoying. This is good. But have you not said this before? Have you not said, "I have fellowship with him," and afterwards found yourself in discouragement? I do not wish to discourage anyone by asking you to think of your past failures. My desire is to help these new converts and others to see how you can enjoy the blessings now that you now have, yea, even greater blessings tomorrow, next week, next month, and during the years to come. Let us read in John 14, verse 23. "If any man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." Close quote. Let us read this text carefully. If a man love, love is the secret of success in having fellowship with Christ. It is not to serve him for what we expect in the future. It is to serve him because we love him. And my Father will love him. To have God's love is to have his grace, and we read in another place, "My grace is sufficient for thee." We put in our own poor, weak love and become a sharer in his great love. Do we lose anything in this partnership? Suppose there are trials and sufferings. Yes, suppose we have to go to the stake. We will have his love to go with us. Even there we can remember, "My grace is sufficient for thee." Quote, "And we will come unto him and make our abode with him." Close quote. We not only have his love in this fellowship, but we have him. We will not only have his grace when we go to prison, but we have him to go with us. He says, "I am with you always." A great many people start in the Christian life all right, but they fail to get near to Christ. They believe him for the forgiveness of past sins, but they do not trust him to keep them. They live too much of the time in fear, but fear hath torment. Perfect love casteth out all fear. Let us get this love and come into fellowship with Jesus Christ, where there is joy and peace and rejoicing. Tender ties. How many tender ties of this earth the Lord uses in his word to show his love for us? "Whosoever doeth the will of my Father, the same is my brother and my sister." Go into a well-ordered family where there are two brothers, and what do you see? They are constantly together, talking over their mutual interests. They enjoy each other's society. They love to be together. Then again, "I will be a father to you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters." 2 Corinthians 6, verse 18. Fathers, is it not a joy for you to be with your children? Children, is there any place so dear as in the home circle where your father and mother are present? Fathers, do you think it a task to do for your children? No. You esteem it a privilege to provide them with clothing and food. So your heavenly Father esteems it a privilege to provide for you. Yes, he is more willing to give good gifts to you than you are to your children. Should you not be more willing to render service to him than to a kind earthly parent? But again, he shows his love for us when he said, "Will a mother forget her child? She may forget, but I will not." God does not forget us. He is watching over us. We may have our eyes turned from him, but he knows where we are. In Ephesians 5, we have the tender tie of the marriage relation used to illustrate the union that should exist between Christ and his followers. The love between brothers and sisters is sacred and binds them close together. The love of children to their parents is still stronger, but the love between man and his wife is stronger than all these. The wife forsakes father, mother, brothers, and sisters, and cleaves to the one to whom she has given her life. The husband returns this affection by his tender care for his wife. So Jesus asks us to trust him, and he will care for us. How we come into fellowship. Our text tells us, if we say we have fellowship, we may be mistaken. That there are untold joys in this communion, we have already seen. But the question for us now to consider is, have we this fellowship? If while we are telling the world that we have fellowship, we at the same time tell them we are in darkness, we are telling a falsehood. The two will not go together. Darkness hath no fellowship with light. We've already found that this fellowship brings God and Christ to dwell in our hearts. John 14, verse 23. Now let us read 1 John 1, verse 5. Quote, "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." If God and Christ are dwelling in our hearts, can there be any darkness there? No, for we have read, "If we walk in the light, that is, walk with Christ, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." 1 John 1, 7. "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness." John 8, verse 12. Brethren, when you are talking about your darkness, you are bearing testimony to the world that you have not fellowship with Christ. Let us believe him and stop exalting Satan. Let us now turn to 1 Peter 2, verse 9. Quote, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people." Close quote. What kind of people? What does peculiar mean? Many that are here tonight fear to be considered peculiar. You may have religion enough to be called odd, but I think I say the truth when I say it warreth against your flesh to be so called. It is easy to sit here among the hundreds who believe the message and say amen to the truths proclaimed, but how is it when you are alone with a scoffing world around you, pointing the finger of scorn at you and calling you a Jew, or saying there is one who expects to go up soon? Have not some of you under such circumstances wish that you could live in Battle Creek where there is a large church where you would not have to meet these things? If you did, you were denying Christ. Selfishness rules such hearts. You were still in darkness while telling the world you had fellowship with Christ. But let us read further. He says, "Ye are a peculiar people." Why? "That ye should show forth the praises of him." Brethren, we want to show praises. Stop talking discouragement and send forth praises. "Who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light?" Out of what has he called us? Congregation, darkness. To what has he called us? Light. What kind of light? marvelous light. What does marvelous mean? It is something astonishing. So God has called us into light that is wonderful, astonishing, marvelous. Where were we when he called us? Let us read Ephesians 2:2, quote, "Where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience," close quote. Were you like the world before you were called out? How did you live? Was it not like the world? Then, when you were called out, did you continue to walk in the same way? Did you walk in the light for a time and then go back into darkness? In verse 12, we read that those who were in darkness were without Christ and without hope in the world. No fellowship, no communion, all darkness. Do you remember when you were there? Do you remember how you felt when you desired something better and did not know how to get it? You were like the blind men who sat by the wayside near Jericho when Jesus was passing. They had longed to see light, but without avail. Now they hear a crowd passing by and ask about the excitement. When told that Jesus was passing by, they cried out, "Thou Son of David!" When told to cease their crying, they still cried louder, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on us." When asked what they wanted, they said that our eyes may be opened. So it was with us. We wanted to see. It is recorded of these blind men that when their eyes were opened, they followed him. How is it with us? Since our eyes were opened, have we followed him? If we have, we have been in the light, for he says, "He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life," in the light. We are told, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. His forgiveness is not like our forgiveness. We forgive, and when the offender offends again, we discourage him by telling him how we forgave him in the past and that we have but little confidence that he will do as he says. But God does not do this way. He forgives and receives us just as freely as though we had never transgressed. He removes our sins from us as far as the east is from the west. He casts them behind his back. He and his throne of glory are between us and our sins, and he himself is light. If we keep our eyes upon him, we need not see darkness. I was reading the other day the experience of a prisoner who was kept some 2 years in one of the southern prisons during the rebellion. When he was exchanged, he was taken aboard a steamer from which floated the Stars and Stripes. Weak, ragged, filthy, and sick, he was ordered to strip off his rags and bathe in pure water. His filthy rags were cast into the water, and he was clothed with Uncle Sam's suit of blue. This is just what Jesus wants us to do, to come into fellowship with him. Cast off our filthy rags of self-righteousness, wash in the blood of the Lamb, and be clothed with the garments of his righteousness. Are we willing to let our garments of self-righteousness be cast into the sea? If not, we cannot come into communion with him. Here is where some fail. We are holding on to something that we cannot leave behind. We are afraid to ask God to help us give it up for fear he will. Let us cut loose from these bonds and be free. A new union. When the wife is joined to her husband, she forsakes all else to be his as long as they both shall live. This sacred tie is used to illustrate the union between Christ and the believer. Before we were united to Christ, we were united to Satan. As it is impossible for the woman to be joined to another man as long as she has a husband, so it is impossible for us to be joined to Christ as long as the union between us and Satan exists. If the wife who has had a bad husband desires to be united to another, she cannot have this liberty until there be a death. If he dies, she is free. If she dies, she is free. If she could live again, she would be free to be united to another. Our old husband, Satan, will not die, so we must die. In Romans 6, we have this death spoken of, from which we rise to walk in newness of life. All is given to Christ, and we are to withhold nothing. As the wife yields her name and all she has to her husband and takes a new name, so we are to give up our old name and take his name. Then there will be sweet communion and praises for this sweet fellowship we enjoy. Then we can say with the psalmist, "My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches." Psalms 63, verse 6. End of this sermon.